Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. Stay up to date by following Devin on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or downloading wherever you listen to podcasts. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here's your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. This week we have on the chairman of the Republican delegation from California, my good friend, Ken Calvert. Ken, you hold one of the most important jobs in this Congress, and that is you're the top Republican on the Defense Appropriations Committee. So everything from intel that I work on to building Navy ships to aircraft, it has to go through you. You've been working on these issues for quite some time, 20-some years. I assume that this budget that the Biden administration has put out is very troubling to you. Can you walk us through why?
It is troubling to me, and it's obviously a big win to our adversaries. China is looking at this as and probably dancing in the streets in Beijing. As they continue to increase their budgets year after year, the Biden administration has apparently made a determination that we're not going to meet our objectives under the National Defense Strategy that was laid down in the previous administration. What does that mean? As we go through these numbers, it becomes more and more troubling. The administration, the Biden administration, says that it's an increase of approximately 1.6%, but that is in effect a 4.4% cut right off the top because of 2% or so inflation rate. Then they cut out entirely the OCO money that we were using. That's the additional dollars that we were using that were off budget to help the defense community because of the budget caps that we're operating under. And so that really comes out of hide. So you got to take that off the top line. And then we understand we don't have the specifics yet that this administration has billions of dollars tied into global climate change initiatives and other social change initiatives within the defense budget, which has nothing to do with national defense.
Right. So what this basically means is the Chinese and the Russians are not doing this. The Chinese and the Russians are leapfrogging us in terms of number of ships and capacity and weapons. And meanwhile, we're going to spend time on these essentially political issues like global warming and whether or not we're going to do sex changes in the military and all this crazy stuff. I think in Beijing, they wake up every day and they laugh. I said earlier this week, you know, the Chinese, what they really want is they want us to lose being the reserve currency for the globe.
And the way to do that, quite frankly, is to have our allies lose faith in us as the people who defend democracy and open seas around the world, especially in the South China Sea, as the Chinese continue to be very provocative and build these islands and use their off-Navy, you know, their little fishing trawlers to chase off the Filipinos or the Vietnamese or the South Koreans and intimidate our friends and allies, even Japan, in these air attacks. In effect, I call them into their airspace. And God knows in Taiwan, they're getting very, very close, I think, to doing something stupid, and I hope they don't do it.
And, you know, the think tank geniuses around here that have been around for it's kind of the swamp, you know, their conventional wisdom is that, oh, Putin's just putting some additional tanks, doing some exercises on the border with Ukraine, not to worry. Oh, the Chinese are putting some more ships in the South China Sea. But and they always say that they'll never do anything. But the fact is that what I called the biggest intelligence failure since 9/11, way back in the day when Russia was having its way with the Obama administration, when we had no clue that they were going to invade Crimea, take it away from Ukraine, they didn't think that was going to happen then either. And so we are on the cusp of some very dangerous times here. And the overall number, just so I know people hear these numbers and they don't know what they mean, but in rough numbers, last year we spent $700 billion that was in the budget approximately, plus an additional, what, $60 billion on this?
$68 billion.
They're being very clever with how they're manipulating these numbers because they're essentially calling for wiping out that entire $68 billion, correct?
Correct, and not to keep up with even with inflation. Mm-hmm. In the previous administration, under the Trump administration, to meet the National Defense Strategy, in real dollars, that's after inflation, we need to increase defense spending by at least 3 to 5% per year. Mm-hmm. And that's just to tread water.
But the fake news, what they'll say is, to your point at the beginning, they'll say, oh, no, the Biden budget is great. It actually gives a 1.6% increase. But that's why people need to know what they're not talking about is this other $68 billion out there that they're eliminating. So if we spent $768 billion last year and we're talking about spending $705 or $4 or whatever the number is this year, that is a cut and it's a big cut.
Yeah, these are all phony numbers that the media is putting out there. When we get through the we still don't have – we probably still won't have until at least mid-May – specific numbers coming out of the Pentagon. That will tell the picture. And, you know, that's an open book. Our adversaries get to look at it too. So that really tells the world how serious the United States is about our national security and their national security, which gets back to your point about reserve currency. If our allies cannot count on us, then they'll probably look elsewhere.
And that's why you see people going to cryptocurrencies and making deals with China. We had the Trump administration brokered this agreement with Israel, United Arab Emirates, and Saudis getting them all. Now we're going to start seeing flights from Israel into these Gulf countries for the first time in many, many years. I mean, tremendous, tremendous victory.
Right.
But we also made commitments that we were going to sell military equipment so that these guys could fortify themselves against the Iranian threat.
Right.
And now you see the Biden administration is going back to this opening up this Iran nuclear agreement. And at the same time, they're not going to fulfill the commitments that they made to – that we made as a government. Sure, it was the Trump administration. We made this commitment to broker this peace agreement. And now we pulled the rug out from under the – say, let's just say the United Arab Emirates. Guess what? Where do they – well, you know this. Where do they go to buy their weapons?
As you know, we have a contract to sell them F-35s. The Biden administration has frozen that contract. That was a commitment, part of the commitment we made when we made this Abraham Accord agreement. If we can't, as a nation, keep our commitments, that's, again, getting back to your point on the reserve currency, we're going to look less and less like the stable government that people rely on.
And there's only two other countries that will sell them weapons, China and Russia.
That's correct.
So, Ken, let's switch gears just briefly here. You chair the California delegation. You've been recruiting candidates around the country. A lot of people want to know, are the Republicans prepared for this next election? Are we going to be able to field candidates? Can you just give us a quick rundown of where you think we are? Because we're having tremendous success right now in terms of candidate recruitment. We probably have a lot of potential candidates out there that are listening to this podcast around the country. So you're serious about candidate recruitment? Walk us through where we're at right now.
Absolutely. Two things, candidate recruitment and money. We've had the best quarter we've ever had. And in spite of some of these corporate folks that are upset at us for one thing or another because we supposedly supported Trump and so they're not going to support us, we went out to the country and we raised more money than we ever had. And we're getting people who want to run for office all around, not just in California, but in Nevada, Arizona, Washington, Oregon, all around the country. And if anyone's listening and you're thinking about running for Congress, give us a call here at the NRCC. We'll be happy to talk to you.
As I understand it, we have more candidates announced, and I forget the exact number, but I think we have a Republican candidate in like 80% of the 435 districts.
And this is very early, as you know. Yeah. And we're going to lose a seat, as you know, in California, but that's not such a bad thing. We're going to pick up a seat or two in Arizona, probably one.
Meaning that we're going to move – we go from 53 seats overall, probably down to 52, maybe even less. And those seats will move because of reapportionment and redistricting.
Right.
We're going to shift seats out of places like California and New York, and we're going to add seats in places like Texas and Florida because people have been moving there.
That's correct.
Because they're running away from the left-wing nonsense that we see in our home state of California.
They're moving to freedom. And so you're seeing states like Arizona probably pick up at least one, Texas three, Florida probably about the same amount.
Kind of final question here. You've been in California. You worked on the Nixon campaign and the Reagan campaign. You chair our delegation. And I know you and I talk about this a lot, but what's happening in California? And you come from the Inland Empire. And in your view, give us kind of your historical perspective on the state of California right now. I mean, I'm sure – I mean, I know you're alarmed, but walk the audience through some of the things that maybe – that you're thinking about that others should know about the state of California.
You know, I love the state of California, as I know you do, Devin, and it's a wonderful state. Our governance is terrible. We have a horrible governor, a horrible state legislature that every day thinks of ways to tax you more and strip you away from your freedom and regulate you to the hilt. And I've seen these cycles in the past where people finally wake up and say, we've had enough. And I think we're there right now. You know, schools that don't teach their students, health care that they can't get because of the onslaught of illegal immigrants that are at the emergency room door, the businesses that are moving out because of the lockdown, on and on and on. And we have a beautiful state. I think we ought to fight for our state. We should not give it up. And we need to get out there and convince people, look, we need to make a change. And this next election is the time to do it.
And the challenge is that Republicans are leaving the state. You're going to freedom. And what I try to do is reach those independent minds out there so that they understand that Republicans have serious ideas, that we want to help people. We want to help people get jobs. We want to try to save the state. And it's trying to reach those independent minds that haven't embraced this very dangerous ideology of socialism. So the Democrats have embraced socialism. They call themselves socialists. And these are failed policies. This is what makes California ultimately look like Venezuela. It's why we don't have any U-Haul trucks in California right now, because they're all moving to other states. I mean, it's a serious shortage of U-Haul trucks leaving the state. So what would you say out there? I mean, in my district, Ken, as you know, I always talk about the water issues, and I talk about, look, you may not like everything Republicans stand for, but my God, the Democrats are supporting flushing our water out to the ocean. So inland empire politics, what do you say to those independents out there who maybe are trying to decide between socialism, communism versus conservatism?
Sooner or later, there's a bill to pay. If the taxpayers, those who make the economy run, continue to move out, and those who are the recipients of the largesse of government continue to grow, we all know common sense will tell you that bankruptcy is right on the horizon. And that's why California is desperate to get more and more money out of Uncle Sugar, because they can't exist without existing without increasing their amount of money from the federal government. So we have to fight this. We all need to rise up and say enough is enough.
And we've really been riding on the sugar high of the development of the tech industry, because it's stupid amounts of money, billions and billions of dollars that's being generated on the web. And those ideas, to great credit, have been coming from Silicon Valley. Those investment groups have been coming from Silicon Valley. They're paying the bills for the state of California. But what's happened over the course of the last couple of years, that the left socialists and Newsom, they're very, very cocky and arrogant that, oh, it doesn't matter. We're making billionaires like no other. We don't care about the farms in California. We can take down 1 million acres. We'll flush the water out to the ocean. We don't really care about the small businesses that are in the Inland Empire. They can go to Arizona or Nevada because we're the World Wide Web. We're Silicon Valley. We're making billionaires faster than anybody. But while they were sleeping, and you know this better than anything, we've seen some very big, prominent companies who have left with their business and their money. Maybe walk us through Elon Musk, who I know you followed his work for a long time. He's one of the ones that left to Texas. HP, Intel, they've left.
A number of companies, sometimes it's what you don't see too. Maybe they don't move their corporate headquarters like Hewlett Packard, but what they do is all their expansions. All their manufacturing expansions are going to say with like Elon Musk to build his battery factory in Nevada or to build most of his testing engineering facilities moving to Texas. The Intel moving their plants to build silicon chips to Arizona. This is troubling. And look, you know, you're a businessman, Devin. Business is cyclical. You have good days, you have bad days. You have good periods of time and you get into bad times. The tech industry is no different than any other industry. At some point, they'll have a cyclical downturn. And if you're relying on one industry, you're not relying on a broad base of like California has with agriculture, the entertainment industry, aerospace,
energy,
oil and gas, mm-hmm. then what's going to happen? When that industry slows down, as it will. We've had tech slowdowns in the past. Then all of a sudden, California is in a very precarious situation.
Right. And I think they've really been sleeping because the financial component and the brain power has left in the last couple of years. And I think their arrogance is going to be very, very damaging. Hopefully, this is a message that hopefully we can get to our independent thinkers that are out there that can – hopefully we can see a turnaround in the state. We want to get it back to what I know you were in on the beginning of all that, working for Ronald Reagan back in the day in his gubernatorial campaigns and presidential campaigns.
You know, we remember those good days. Ronald Reagan, people forget, came from California, a Caltrans that worked. They'd actually built roads and the best freeways in the world, the best infrastructure in the world. We had ports that worked that weren't clogged up like in L.A. right now. We had schools that worked and where kids really went to get educated, not indoctrinated. And now that's going away, and people need to rise up. They need to rise up and say enough is enough.
With that, Ken, thanks for your dedication to the state of California and to everything you do here in the swamp in Washington.
Okay, thank you, Devin. Look forward to seeing you at work.
This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next time.
Stay up to date by following Devin Nunes on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or download wherever you listen to podcasts.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.